Hey, what's up, guys? So we are 2 minutes late. Apologies for that. We're trying to get a little better. But having to run in here from a meeting about 5 minutes early doesn't help. But we're going to be doing, this is sort of a non-topic live T-Rex talk where I want to answer some of y'all's questions. I did one of these early on. I did one of these like a month ago or so where I'm just going to got my phone right here and I'm going to try to just answer questions as we go on firearms, accessories, training, airsoft. We just put out an airsoft video detailing the event that we went to about a month and a half ago, Iron Horse 3, hosted by American Milsim, talking about some of the different tasks that you can train at an airsoft Milsim type event. A lot of people think of airsoft as gun, shoots BBs, do airsoft for firearms training, which we did a video on explaining that airsoft can be used to drill firearms manipulation with Liku from Japan, and it is the case, but there's a lot more to training with airsoft than just the gun part. I didn't go to that event to work on my gun manipulation. I can just do that at the range with live fire or dry fire at my house, it's fine. I went to that event because I wanted to work on my movement, my communication, I wanted to meet people. And I also wanted to do some low light, just work different environments and learn some stuff from there that I can take back and do with real guns potentially here. That's what people should be thinking about these Milsim events and airsoft events as being useful for. You don't go to them for the gun stuff as much. You go for everything else. And so that's really cool because it's honestly, it's super easy to train on the range. It's really easy to shoot on the flat range. It's a little harder to go to training facilities and run around with people and do some, you know, communication and positive target identification. That's a little harder to train on your own, but going to an organized event of a couple hundred people, 400 people does make some of those things a little easier. So I will take some questions on that if you'll have some questions. I know a big one is, hey, you're going to do more airsoft events this year, go to more of them, attend them, blah, blah, blah. The answer is yes. We'll actually be at one here in Tennessee next week. I'm dating the video by saying this, at a prison. So I get to go to jail. So we'll be running around there, taking a few more of the guys here at T-Rex Arms. We're going to be rolling as gray team, and we're going to be running our 416s and more comm stuff, and it's going to be great. And then there's some other events. I need to talk to American Milsim a little bit more about going to more of their events this year, three or four more, and then possibly hosting a special one later this year. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But I definitely think people need to look into airsoft for training other things, although that doesn't necessarily mean going to your local airsoft field where it's just a big like team deathmatch, just at a, you know, paintball field. Like that's, it could work some stuff, but not to the same level. But actually going to some of these organized events at big training facilities and mount sites on military bases and things like that, it's pretty cool. So yeah, airsoft prison break. Yep. We're going to get our shivs ready. So, let's get to the questions now. How was your airsoft experience? It was great. I died multiple times. I got many kill streaks. I actually got into very few gunfights. It's a lot more running around than shooting, which people are like, oh, you're probably shooting all the time. No, it's a lot of running around. How do I get signed up and go to a Milsim event? Go to AmericanMilsim.com. Check them out. Milsim West is another organization. I think there's some other ones out there. Just do some research. I don't have all the answers. I'm not big into the airsoft community. I've only been to like 4 or 5 events over the past 7 years. But you can look into it. Check them out. Milsim West is a little more, I would say, rigorous, realistic. It's more camping. You kind of go out for 2 or 3 days. You're not like going back to a hotel. You're actually in the field. So that's pretty cool. It's a little more immersion is what people were telling me. You have to wear certain camouflages. You know, it'll be NATO versus Russia. So your kit has to be a little more built out for that. Got to do a little bit of cloning. It's a little more immersive. But you're actually out in the woods and stuff. So that's pretty cool, having to like crap in a hole, stuff like that. So that's great. If you want to go do that in an airsoft event, Milsim West is your cup of tea. So check that out. I called an AC-130. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was great. They actually have helicopters at some of these events. American Milsim had a chopper at their Oklahoma game, I think it was last year, and they would take people up on gun runs with a saw. So they do have like vehicles and stuff. It's pretty fun. All right. Third Coast, Milsim West, American Milsim, Iron Claw. Yep, so there's like 5 right there. So, do you wear any kit that didn't work out the way you hoped? I ran a pistol, but never used it. I would still run a pistol in real life with real bullets. I just never used my pistol here. I pretty much focused on a plate carrier kit. No, it all worked pretty well. The only downside is I had a pack on my plate carrier, which you can't really get into. So you have to have buddies get into it for you. That kind of sucks. That's why I kind of like wearing backpacks that are separate from your plate carrier instead. So you can actually dump the pack, get into it, put it back on, double tap Z, drop your bag, stuff like that. So that can be important. Best LPVO. So I actually have two right here. Two new ones they're not new, but Viper PST, which is arguably one of the better sort of budget scopes out there that I'm going to be playing with. I had one of these a long time ago. It was the older one, the PST-1. This is the PST-2, I think, or I'm not even sure if they're on a 2 yet, but this is the newer one, if there is a newer one. This is how much I know about these scopes. But this is in, I think, the $800 range, $700 range. I had one of these like 6 years ago. Didn't use it a whole lot, ditched it, went to an EOTech magnifier combo, something like that, or an ACOG, I can't remember which. But I'm going to be playing with this again because I do want to evaluate some of these cheaper scopes a little more. Are we going to sell this? Possibly, probably not. Who knows? But just for other people, because you can buy these other places, I do want to play with one. I do not believe that's made in America. I could be wrong, though. I don't think it is at the price point it's at. Then this is the Primary Arms like Premium Edition, Platinum Edition, I think is what they call them. So same price range, $600, $700, 1-6. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if they came from the same factory in the Philippines. But going to kind of play with both. Oh, this is a 1-8. This is actually a 1-8. So that's pretty cool. 30mm tube. So going to be playing with both of these as kind of budgety kind of scopes. I don't classify scopes that are $300 budget because I would never pay that much for a scope. This is glass that you need to look through and magnify and shoot. Hold zero. I would not pay less than $300 for a scope. Absolutely not. Probably wouldn't pay less than $600 for a scope, to be perfectly honest. So I got to play with those a little bit. Yeah, I need more, Rain. PSC Gen 2. I think it's a Gen 2, yeah. It doesn't stay on there, though. Do you like Vortex? I really like the Gen 3. I'm not as big of a fan of the Gen 3. I really like the HD Gen 2. Actually, could you... there's one on top shelf by that helmet up top, right? It's probably my favorite LPVO right now. The downside to it is quite heavy. So my other favorite is actually the EOTech Voodoo. The new 1-8 is great. They fixed some of the problems with the prior 1-6. It's got capped turrets. There's also one around here somewhere. There's actually one on that gun, but whatever. But this is actually, at least in my opinion, the only that I've used at least viable daylight bright red dot 1X scope. Every company out there says like, oh, daylight bright. It's not. This one actually is. You can actually treat this as a red dot on 1X, turn it up all the way to 11, and it's not bad. But it is heavy. It's a tank, $1,400, whatever. They're very hard to get right now. Vortex does not send us very many to sell, which sucks. But it is a great scope. I really like it. It's a more premium. The Gen 3, the 1-10, I've got one. It's on a SCAR 17 in there. I don't like it as much as this, to be perfectly honest. The eye box and the eye relief and some other stuff about it, I'm just not as big of a fan. But it's still a good scope for what it does on a DMR or something like that. Okay, Steiner Optics. I don't use a lot of their stuff. I haven't heard the greatest things, unfortunately, from some of my buddies that have used their stuff. So, Romeo 8T. No idea which one that is. Unlike... Why do these companies use these crazy numbers is what I want to know. Like, I'm not going to keep track of what Romeo 5, 2, 6, 8, 10, 20, I don't know. Why? I don't know. It's like Safariland all over again. Swamp Fox. I have heard, I keep hearing that name. They sound like another one of the, I could be wrong. They sound like one of these Instagram companies that gets the email from the factory in Hong Kong. Hey, we can make whatever scopes and red dots you want. Do you want it? And they say, yep, here's our company name. Make us a thing. I could be wrong, though, but all these companies are coming out with budget stuff. They're getting all their stuff from the same factory. It's all overseas. I get those exact same emails from those same companies going, Lucas, we can make you scope, red dot, mini red dot. What do you want? Like, I could literally have them make a T-Rex Arms 1-6 that looks like a brown 1-6 from another company. But I'm not going to do that because that's lame and everyone else does that and they're not even that great. But I want to say all these little like Instagram companies starting off, it's all from the same factory. It's all from over there. It's not new. It's not innovative. It's not different. So I'm just not interested in any of those kinds of products like at all. So could be wrong, but that's just what it seems like to me as a consumer, because I'm a consumer just like you guys. I go out and buy stuff just like you guys and I play with it. And I look for stuff that I want to buy, that I want to test. And if I see something that doesn't look like it, I don't go and buy that. So, How should I shoulder a rifle with a plate carrier? Depends on your plate carrier, how thick the shoulder pads are, what the stock on your rifle's like, but generally speaking, you're going to shoulder it just the same as you're not wearing one. You're going to put the stock up there as best as you can. Depending on how fat your shoulder pad is, you may want to retract your stock one click, but for the most part, it's exactly the same stuff. I do the same stuff. I did not work in the military, no. I'm a 27-year civilian. Speed softers. I think some of that stuff looks really cool and could work some stuff. Your perception, your focus, just your overall speed at moving, taking cover. That's a lot of solo work based on what I've seen videos of, because I do follow some speed softers on Instagram and I'll watch their stuff from time to time because I pick some stuff up from there as well for myself. And it's a lot of solo work, not necessarily teamwork, but it's really fast processing information where your guys are at. I love it. It's great. But not a lot of team stuff. So Tango 6T, I've got two of them. That's not a bad scope. I actually have that on this, night vision built SPR 14.5 block 2. I was shooting that with a, some videos coming soon, actually a newsletter. Sign up on T-Rex Arms for a very cool, thing on that. But, actually it's a pretty cool scope. What I don't like about it is below each hash, for like your mils, your MOA, your BDC, it's a BDC reticle. There's just a big dot in between each, a big circle for like area engagement. Not a big fan of that, kind of like a civilian LCAN. I would prefer it just being hashes. It's a little more precise, but whatever. So, is there a good solution to carrying 10 round mags on you? Yes, there is. I have a belt with just like 15 mag carriers and just run 15 tens and get sleight of hand pro and you're done. You're set. You're good to go. So yeah, you have a storefront. We do not. We're in an industrial park. We're not allowed to have retail. We're not allowed to have visitors. We do industry tours and stuff, or like for politicians, some of the reps we work with and whatnot, but we can't have visitors because we're in an industrial park. But yeah, we're Googleable. We used to be Googleable something else, and we had to change it, which is kind of funny. Now people drive here trying to buy ammo, and it's like, we don't sell ammo. Like, so I would like to go to a Milsim West event. I don't know which one or when I'll be able to fit that in, but I would like to go to one. Take a bunch of guys. Probably take some of my military buddies to one as well, some SWAT guys or something. So it'd be fun. Yeah, Canada. So this is funny, right? So people say airsoft is dumb. Well, if airsoft was dumb, you wouldn't necessarily have countries like Canada publicly admitting airsoft is bad because it's the gateway to people getting into real guns. We must ban it. Is literally what Canadian Doctors for something, mental health or something like that, some institution. I was sent a message by a guy in Canada about it, who literally identified airsoft as being a gateway to firearms ownership and everything that goes along with that. They recognize it better than people in the gun community. They recognize it better than veterans, cops, special forces guys, NRA, like whatever. Like the fact that the left recognizes some stuff better than we do is, it really should make us ashamed. They understand what airsoft and video game stuff is doing for people, getting them interested into guns and personal freedom and liberty and stuff like that. So Canada's actually got a bill, I think it's C-21, where they are pushing to ban airsoft in Canada. Now, I haven't looked into the bill exactly what it says, but from what it sounds like, it's all airsoft stuff. I know some countries have banned like black airsoft guns. You can only have like transparent airsoft guns, other stuff like that. In Germany, you can't have white light on your airsoft guns or lasers. So I've had messages from people over there like, how do I shoot with night vision? I'm not allowed to have a light or a laser. I'm like, you're not allowed to have a light on your gun. All sorts of countries are banning stuff. And so, yeah, Canada's trying to ban airsoft. And then I want to say there was a bill someone was proposing or talking about in Pennsylvania of possibly banning airsoft. I can't remember if that was the state, but that's come up here in our own country now. So, like, let's just remember that. A lot of airsofters are becoming political activists right now, which is awesome. It's great. So yeah, comms. I'm not talking about comms on this video. You can ask that about Isaac's the one who's really spearheaded that discussion, and my older brother David, who's the CFO in the company. I do this stuff with shooting and guns. They actually are a little more scientific and nerdy when it comes to radios and talking to people. I don't even know how this works. Like, to me, this is magic. I look into the black abyss of nothing. to talk to you all, and then my voice somehow gets communicated to you guys in this image, and I don't know how this works. They could explain it. I can't. It's magic. It's basically, yeah, it's just magic. LA5 or full power pack? LA5, if you can get one. They're a little more expensive, though, but full power packs are good to go. Best IR laser? There's a lot of really good ones right now. There's people love to debate between all of them, but the fact of the matter is I've got a Pack 4 Charlie, which is like the first weapon-mounted, like decent IR laser back from the early 90s. All of the modern lasers are better than that one. So whether you get a Mall, an Ingall, a Peck, a D-Ball, there's a new one from US Night Vision that looks pretty cool, actually. It's a short little sucker. All those are going to be great compared to what we had in the 90s, early 2000s. They beat Peck 2s, stuff like that. But it's really what you can get your hands on. Stock is pretty hard right now as well. At PLCs are very hard to keep in stock. We'll get a dozen. They're gone within like an hour or less. They're very hard to keep in stock. Malls are good, although the battery life kind of sucks. And if you leave it on, it's dead by the next day. Like if you just leave it in the on position, not like turn the laser on, it's on. But all of them are good. It all comes down to training. I have a Pursed here. I haven't used these enough to speak with this particular point with a lot of authority, but I've heard rumors that this does not retain zero as well as its Western counterparts. So not sure about that. Warranty was also going to be an issue. Granted, you're not going to warranty a full power laser anyway because you're not technically supposed to have one, although it's legal to have them. This is a full power. But it's also very heavy as well. So, I don't know. You can check them out. I've got the 3 and the 4. Best budget AR white light. I would say a used Streamlight or Surefire. You don't have to buy new at all times. I know everyone's going to jump in here and say, hey, the one that blows up on guns. No, don't put that one on your gun. But yeah, used Surefire, used Streamlights are really good. I want to show this to you. Check this out. I'm going to show you my first rifle light. Not this, actually. This. Look at this. It just showed up here. This was the first rifle light I had on my AR back in 2012, 2011. This little thing is like, I don't even know how many lumens this is. It's a little like old Cree LED bulbed thing that takes a AA and a Viking Tactics. This was back when he was, I would say, more the rage. There's more people now and everything's more diluted now than it used to be back then, but on a mount with a little piece of mesh material to get it to fit. But this was what I had on my rifle back then. I was like, oh my goodness, tactical light. Yeah. This is what I had. And this is, let's turn on. Oh, there it's on. Oh, look at that. Look at that astounding amount of lumens. So this is what I had as budget back then, but yeah, you can take a handheld flashlight. You know, I've done, bring it over here. All right. You can get a handheld. All right. So this thing is an astounding, look how many lumens that sucker is. Yeah. Check that action out. So yeah, good old Nimrod setup right here. But, you can get a handheld light and stick it into a clamp and be good to go. You don't have to get like a Surefire or a Streamlight, but just don't get the one that blows up on your gun, please. Like, don't do that. Russian lasers on AKs don't need to hold zero anyway. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Imagine an Olight headlamp exploding on your head. That would suck. Or in your mouth. That would suck. Absolutely. So, yeah. Thoughts on over-barrel suppressors? Oh, kind of like the M110 suppressors? I don't know a lot about suppressor technology. That'd be a question for one of the meme guys on Instagram. But and I'm hoping to acquire more suppressors pretty soon here. That was one of my goals for this year. But so far, it's mainly just Surefires and Dead Airs, and that's pretty much all I've been using right now. Show us the Mitcher ACH behind you. So this is a thing. We're filming a one-take tomorrow on... I want to say it's going to be the one on LPVOs versus magnifiers, that or something else. But I want to do one pretty soon here of a $1,500 setup. So the premise is I'm going to take $1,500. I think I can do it in $1,500. $1,500 that I'm going to spend or take from what I already got here. It's worth $1,500. And do a rifle with a light, maybe an optic if I can squeeze it in. I don't think I can. kit and medical and magazines. I'm not going to count ammo because that fluctuates. Prices fluctuate on that. Then I'm going to do a one take with that $1,500 budget set up. I'm hoping to do more of that stuff coming up here. But I also want to do that for night vision because a lot of people out there, when they price check helmets, they go straight to new price. Whereas what you can do, I went on eBay and I found this, MSA ACH Mitch helmet, and I paid like $400 for this. And this is a armored helmet that is probably normally about $700-$800, something like that. I didn't go and pay full price for this. I went and bought this used. I actually bought a bunch. I bought like three or four used, $300 to $400. Great use of money. It's got arc rails on it. I can add all my accessories. It's already got a night vision mount, and I went to eBay and picked one up. I check eBay for stuff every couple weeks, every 3 weeks, just like helmets, chest rig, like what's out there? Is there anything I can score? Old optics, whatever. You can save a lot of money if you're willing to buy used. And used is, well, pretty awesome. Let's be real. It's already beat up. It's already battle-worn that you don't want to pay extra money on. Battle-worn is so cool, you know. $400 is too much. I disagree. For that helmet with ACH rails on it and everything and a night vision mount, that's a pretty good price on that for an armored helmet. If you're getting it cheaper, that's awesome. All power to you, but, you know. China armor. Not a big fan. I wouldn't recommend that if I could help it. UK police loadout, one take. My CTSFO MCX, I would like to do a one take with that. But I'm waiting for a cloudy day for that because it would be a little more UK-ish if it's cloudy and dreary. So I'm going to wait on that. How much does target identification affect optic choice? Did you wish you had LPVO at airsoft event? That is a really good question. So there were multiple times that I don't have one right here, but I ran my magnification. I had a magnifier, 3x magnifier. To actually identify a little bit further. And I'm thinking, I don't know if this prison game is going to have a lot of distance. Honestly, I hope not, because with airsoft, you can't even shoot that far. But I may actually run a 1-6. I may run a Voodoo, because being able to dial up to 4 power or 6 power or even 8 power, even if you're like 50 meters, 80 meters away, that can be really effective. So I may run a scope at this next event, kind of play with that a little bit. But I did run the magnifier, not even flipped over behind the red dot, just angled the gun. Yeah, I think that's someone that's on our side. All right, we're good. That can make a really big difference. But we'll talk about some of that in my one take on magnifiers versus scopes, and we're going to run some different tests and drills. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh boy. Virtus. MCX Virtus is great. I've got a few. They're really expensive right now. The MCX is probably the most in-demand standalone rifle right now. At least with our demographic of people. I would say it's the most in-demand rifle right now. It has become the gun, the cool gun, what that people want, with SD rails, short, 300 blackout, 5.56, black, spray-painted, gray, green, tan, you name it. MCXs are the play right now. And honestly, they're probably my favorite standalone rifle out there. I've been saying that for years, too. Even with the Gen 1 MCXs. What would be your go-to factory hard-use rifle? Probably an MCX, actually. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, if I had to pick one gun, what would it be? And I was like, probably an MCX. Foldable stock and goes in a bag easily. Recoil's really good. Piston gun. I don't mind direct impingement, but the piston's kind of fun. Being able to shoot folded's great. Easy to switch out accessories. I do that from time to time, different rails and stuff. That's pretty cool. It's just a really good gun. My lasers have held zero on the rail further out. MCX. Great. Now it's going to be hard for me to buy MCXs. I've said that crap. What I need to do is, before I put out a video on something like this, I go buy like 20 of them. So I don't have to worry about like them getting bought up. Just buy like 20 and sit on them. PBS7. I was using one the other night. They're not great. But if that's all you can get, it's better than nothing. But, I would say PBS14 if you can pick. All right. More rain. Vortex 3.
11 versus 16-inch AR.
11-inch, I assume is what you're asking?
11.3 or...
11.5. It doesn't matter if you suck. No. So the way I kind of categorize rifles as far as barrel length goes, anything 13.7 and above is like, all right, that's like long boy division. And then anything like 12.5 and down, that's short boy pistol division. Anything in there, I don't care. anything in long boy division, I don't care. The long boys may get different optic setups. I may want to run 1-10, you know, 2-10 scopes on those a little more than my short guns. But inside of each of those divisions, it doesn't matter what barrel length you have. Now, if you're asking, should I get a rifle or a pistol or a rifle or an SBR? I think the sort of the decision behind that is, do you want maneuverability and the ability to hide it in a bag? I like my short guns because they're easy to put in bags and they're really lightweight, especially if I'm going to put a laser and a full-size suppressor and a big body light on it and a scope. Like, yeah, that's starting to get to be a pretty heavy gun. Maybe I'd like that to be a little smaller. I mean, I've got stuff like that. That's a SCAR 16-inch that I usually have a suppressor on and a pec and that 3-16 scope. Like, that's becoming a pretty heavy boy over there. So I kind of have short guns, long guns. That's it. I don't get in the weeds. I've got 10.5s, 11.5s, 9-inch guns. Like, I don't care. They're short. Then I got 13.7s, 14.5s, 16s, and I don't have any 18s or 20s, actually. But those are kind of their own categories, kind of how I see it. And inside of that, I don't care. It doesn't matter because most people, they don't train enough to gain a lot of benefit from their 10.3 barrel to a 11.5 barrel with, like, accuracy or whatever. If you suck, you suck is really what it comes down to as far as barrel length goes. But I like LPVOs and SBRs a lot. The reason for that is target identification. The gun is a little bit lighter, so adding the scope to it makes it, you know, nice and convenient. But I run a lot of red dots on my short guns. Just they're easier, faster, up close, lighter overall. But yeah, 1-6s. I've even done 2-10s on short guns, and that can still work great. Better target identification at distance. I got 10x. People are like, whoa, that's too much magnification on the short gun. Well, I can actually have as much as I want on there. Like, it's not a problem. You know, it's just affecting, like, weight and other stuff like that. X300 versus TLR1. Both are good. Both are good. Again, if you suck, you suck. But both are actually really good. I've used both. I don't use TLR1s a whole lot. I mainly use X300s and TLR7As. T2 with a G43. I actually have that set up over... It's on a Mark 18. I actually have that set up. That's what I'm thinking of running tomorrow for the one take. Is that is it a T2? I think it's a T2 on a 193 with a G43 magnifier, the new EOTech one, versus a Voodoo 1-8. Red dot on a 16. It's good to go. It's solid. Again, if you suck, you suck. Barrel length. Like, what's funny is barrel. I don't want to say barrel length doesn't matter because it starts to matter when you're shooting distance. Your optic does matter because that's how you hit stuff. Your zero matters so you can hit stuff. But at the end of the day, getting really nerdy on all three of those doesn't do a whole lot if you can't even shoot to begin with. I see people arguing zero all the time. 5200, a 36, a 100. Instructors make their own and they're like, this is my 23-yard zero. Like, well, guess what? If you suck, even with that zero, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what your zero is. At some point, your bullet's going to hit that, and then it's going to do its thing, and then it's going to come back to that. And where those two distances are is fairly relative, but what isn't or what is relative and what actually matters is how much you suck. Are you this awesome? Are you that bad? Are you this mediocre? Like, that's actually what matters outside of the zero. Like, I don't get into the weeds with zeros. I do a 5200 on pretty much everything. On some of my scopes, I'll do a 100 so I can use the BDC. I'll use 77 grain ammo. And so then I know that that's my accurate, accurized gun. I learn my holds, all that rubbish. But if I'm running like my red dot guns or whatever, it's just a 5200. And I just shoot that and try to be good at moving fast, shooting fast, consistency, marksmanship. I don't get in the weeds on, like, which zero is the best zero ever for shooting to 500 meters or something. Because at the end of the day, if you suck, you suck. That's just how it is. With barrel length, your optic, zero. Your optic quality can make a big difference in as far as it failing or losing zero. So that is a big deal outside of the sucking part. But at the end of the day, a lot of people get nerdy on stuff because it's easier than going and putting in work. 100%. Oh boy, 7.62x39 short guns. They're cool, yeah. I mean, 7.62x39, but a 5.45 master race. Passive aiming with LPVO possibility. It is not. It's horrible. People that have marketed 193 scope mounts for night vision have obviously not shot with night vision and a 1-6. You're losing so much light coming through your scope with all the glass and everything going on in it that you can barely see looking through a 1x scope and get your eye relief just right with your tubes. To me, it's a non-option. Like, I can't even get a good sight picture with this on a 193 with my PVS-31s or my Panos for that matter. So to me, it's like, if I had to in an emergency, it's better than not having a laser, but it's not, I would never tell people this is a viable option under night vision with head mounted. Oh, AC's turning on. Might be a little too loud. Can't even hear that. That's fine. Multicam gray. I actually dyed my cry pants sort of a gray brown color. It's kind of cool. It's what that I never wear. Say, how much of a difference ergo wise would you say exists between bullpup versus regular, advantages, disadvantages? There's advantages to both, but as far as overall speed, I believe, at least, I haven't trained bullpups as much as conventional AR platform guns, I will be faster with an AR where the magazine is up front than back here in the rear, where the buttons are kind of weird and different. The cool part of the bullpup is it is easier to put in a bag and maintain having a 16-inch barrel, which does mean more feet per second, more damage, more stopping power, more accuracy, all the good stuff. So that is cool about a bullpup. I really like my AUG. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely slow. It's not real ergonomic. But I think I will always be faster with a conventional rifle where the magazine is up in the front and the controls are out here, not tucked in here where it's all like tight and weird, but it's actually like out here more at arm's reach. I think I'm just always going to be faster with a conventional rifle. I've seen guys shoot bullpups fast, but I've also never seen someone take a bullpup and compete in a match and beat like harshly people running conventional rifles. Like, you don't see that happen because it doesn't exist. Just like you don't see AK guys show up to 3-gun matches and toast, unless it's an AK only match, toast everyone with ARs and like normal guns, right? You're not seeing it. And most of the AK fanboys out there, I'm sure this is going to upset some people, can't shoot as well as the AR fanboys. Like, I'm sorry, not sorry. That's just how it is. I would love to see more people just absolutely run AKs like nobody's business and just crush it. But I don't see a lot of that. I'd love to, because I love people that shoot awesome. I just don't see a lot of people who are saying like, SKSs are the greatest thing ever, out shooting dudes with ARs, or AK guys out shooting AR guys. Don't see it. Don't see it. I know it happens sometimes, but generally it doesn't happen. Oh boy. Collab with Demo Ranch. Highly doubt that'll ever happen. Highly doubt it. Do you plan on building an SR-25? Don't know. Honestly, I probably shouldn't say what I want to build. I don't know, actually. I don't shoot a lot of 7.62 by 51. I do have a M91 Dragunov gun that's 5.4R, but I haven't even shot that a whole lot. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'd like to build a fast DMR type gun at some point, maybe in 6.5, probably 6.5 over 308. I just haven't been able to worry about that. Is a DMR worth it? I would say it depends where you live and what you want to do. Kind of my philosophy, our philosophy here at T-Rex Arms is guns are for more than your home intruder scenario. They're more for your active shooter scenario. The reason that we own this stuff and helmets is not for a home intruder. It's not for a mugging at a Shell station. It's for something far worse. Tyranny, resistance to tyranny. There's also the scenario, it doesn't come up a lot, people don't talk about it a lot, but like a foreign invasion, while I find very unlikely here in the United States of America, were another nation to invade our country, I would assume partisan forces in various regions would rise up and fight back. As we've seen in movies and video games, and as we've seen in history in pretty much every single country ever, partisans rise up and do stuff. That's why this stuff exists and people should have this stuff, not just for home intruders. That's where DMRs are cool. I wouldn't recommend someone buy a DMR for the vast majority of scenarios they could be in, because most engagements, and based on, so look at what kinds of engagements are happening right now in America, are within shouting distance, within talking distance, within about 10 meters, where you can actually identify that someone is a threat to you and or other people. You're not sniping people at 500 meters. You're not sniping people at 1,000 meters. It's literally 3 feet away. I just saw a shooting while I was in the meeting, I sometimes pull my phone out, and I saw a guy send me a shooting of a female officer at the door of a house. They were there for, I don't know what exactly, but a guy came to the house, came to the door with a gun to shoot, start shooting at her, shot first. She dropped down, and from about 3 feet away, drew and shot the guy 5 times. So that's a 3-foot engagement. That's not a 500-meter DMR sniper shot. So that's why I put so much emphasis on speed. It's why I put so much emphasis on short guns that are a little more maneuverable. Red dots over scopes. More on that in the video I'm working on. Scopes are great for other stuff, but red dots are still better in many areas. Because your common engagement distances are super short, and the only time we're going to get to like massive long range or medium range, in my opinion at least, would be a dramatic scenario that could happen in the future, although unlikely, can still happen, but the short range stuff is stuff that literally could happen tomorrow, potentially, to you at your house or wherever you're at. That's kind of my philosophy, is where I'm at with that. I still own DMRs. Now, some of it's just for my own personal education and learning, but I like having access to them, the ability to grab one if I need one. But my gun I keep in the car is a short gun. My gun I keep by my bed is a 9-inch 300 blackout with a red dot. I'm not putting a bolt action 6.5 Creedmoor bolt gun to shoot out my window a mile when someone walks up my driveway. I also don't have a driveway a mile long, but you get the point. War Comp for home defense. Yep, absolutely. They're great. It's going to be a little loud, but, you know, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. It's great. You know, according to the internet, your adrenaline and your stress will block your ears out. You'll have no hearing damage, and you'll be fine. I'm kidding. You'll totally have hearing damage. The adrenaline will block out some of the noise so that you can process information, but you're totally giving yourself hearing damage. Shooting in a confined space without hearing protection. Totally, 100%. Science. Physics. A lot of people are asking for collab videos. We don't do a whole lot of collab videos, as y'all have seen. We do a lot of our own media internally here in the company. And one reason, I'm not against doing collab videos with certain people. I am against doing collab videos with some people because I don't necessarily want to give them our platform or really associate with them and what they're trying to do or what they are doing. But one reason we haven't needed to collab is we have so much stuff we're behind on. Like, I've never done a video on the sidecar. I've never done a video on the Ragnarok. I've never done videos on some of the guns in here, in the kit, training stuff, how to speed reload, how to transition to a pistol, class stuff, shooting on the move, night vision, budget night vision. I have probably about 3 years of content that I need to hash through before I run out of ideas that I need to collab with other people. Now, there are strategic reasons to collab with dudes, but the reason a lot of these YouTubers have to jump around and collab is they've run out of content that they can do on their own. Like, they have to work with other people to have stuff to talk about. That's not really us right now. I mean, I'm very much behind. Last year, I think I only did 11 YouTube videos of, like, gun shooting stuff. That's not a lot. So, I don't know. We might have some collabs. I know I've got a couple that I have in the works with some gamers, big Twitch streamers. But I don't know. We'll see. So we're just focusing on our own stuff right now, to be honest, because we're super behind. Collab. I don't know. Minecraft. Absolutely. Christian servers only. Minecraft, Christian server. Yep. So anyway, we'll collaborate when I, Sweden would be fun. I've told people on my Instagram, I'd love to do a tour of the Scandinavian countries and the training and kind of what they do. It's super cool. It intrigues me very much, with some of their training scenarios. And I've worked with some of the guys over there and, it's just very cool how they do stuff over there. SP5 worth the dollars. Budgets and money and affordability is very relative. If you're someone who makes $1 million, that's very different than someone who's making $30,000. I would say that gun is totally worth it to certain people who are trying to do certain things. I would say that gun is totally not worth it to people who are up to their eyeballs in debt and can't afford to like pay any of it off. That gun has very limited application in my opinion, as far as practicality, but it is a cool fun gun. Like, it's a cool little fun gun. But it's all very relative based on worth, what you're doing, what you're trying to do, business, personal, PDW, home defense, range gun, fun, not fun, hobby. Like, you get what I'm saying? Maybe. It could be. Depends on you. But I would put that money into something different personally. If it was a defense gun, hand to hand combat, worth it. Yeah, absolutely. I don't do a whole lot of it right now. It's probably something I'll get into here in the future. But yeah, there's a bunch of guys who, it is funny though, and I see this a lot. Whatever people focus on the most, they think is the most important. So I see guys on Instagram who focus on deadlifting, and they're like, fitness and deadlifting is the most important thing. Guys who focus on jiu-jitsu, jiu-jitsu is the most important thing. Guys who focus on USPSA, USPSA is the most important thing. Very few guys actually step back and go, hey, I focus a lot on this, but it's totally not the most important thing. I'm just doing this a lot right now because I'm going to get to this other stuff later. They are very biased towards the thing that they're doing. So I do think that there should be a balance of all the different stuff, but there's a reason people prioritize certain things in their lives and then they swap priorities and go to something else. I'm prioritizing gun stuff and shooting right now because that's how I help people and that's how I run my business. I may change that to software development or something else, or running track or biking or dirt bike. I don't know. It could be something else. But yeah, there's a lot of skills out there. If you think about yourself as a, I was explaining this on my stream last night, as a character in an RPG, you know, you have your little traits like strength, charisma, communication, persuasiveness, whatever. Like, you can either dump all your points into one thing or you can kind of level each one up individually. It really comes down to what you want to do. I'm focusing on adding up all my points up in, you know, a couple things. Some people prefer to do a little bit in everything, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, whatever you want to do. But yeah, it's important, just like everything else. But I put it all into charisma. All right, just kidding. No, I don't. So yeah, where did I train? Myself. I've taken a couple really cool classes. I took a one-on-one class with JJ Ricaza years ago. I took a five-day Redback One carbine class 6 years ago. I took a Force on Force with Sage Dynamics, and I want to say that's it. I did some medical as well. That's it. Like, I haven't gone and taken 50,000 pistol classes. I just got some data from JJ. I learned some stuff from Jason Falla. I watched videos online, and I went to work. That was it. I learned some things as I went for some SF guys, but those weren't like official classes, and it's just working on my own. You can teach yourself how to shoot. It's great. Like, you don't have to take a billion classes from certified white lab coat wearing dudes. You can teach yourself how to shoot. It's really simple. There's other skill sets though, like medical, a little harder, a little more difficult, heart surgery, you know, probably not going to learn that on YouTube, but shooting, super simple. A monkey can teach themselves how to shoot. I'm a monkey pretty much. Thanks. I appreciate you like the podcast on Entre Leadership. I have another podcast I think I'm on. Wait, is today Thursday? Is today Thursday? Oh, no, it's Wednesday. We're good. I think it's on Friday. Whew. Okay. All right. I think we're good. Best night vision goggles. Depends on what you can afford. PVS 31s are great. DTNVSs are probably the best for most people to set their sights on as a goal. 10 grand. PVS 14, that's great. Magnifiers that you own and like. I have a aim point on my a new MCX that I just built. G33s, which I've used for years. The new G43, they all operate more or less the same. I haven't used a bunch of the really budget ones. I've looked through some of them. They don't look great. Glass clarity, light transmission, all that crap. But I've used the G33 a lot. It's kind of the gold standard. There's some new ones coming out. EOTech has a 5-power one that I'm looking forward to. No idea when that's coming out. I did not like... Actually, I do have a magnifier I don't like. I think I showed this a few weeks ago. This thing's a real piece of crap. It's also like $1,000, I think. This is the Aimpoint 6-power. This guy's eye relief and like field of view when you're actually like looking at targets as a 6-power is horrible. I would never recommend anyone buy this unless you're bench rest shooting and so moving and getting into position and weird stuff isn't a thing. But I got it for testing because I wanted to, you know, wanted to try it out. 6-power magnifier. It was kind of new like 5 years ago or 4 years ago. It's not great. I wouldn't recommend it, especially for the price. But because I went and bought one, I can tell you that. Maybe save you some money. But yeah, 6-power magnifier by Aimpoint. Horrible eye relief. Very finicky. Tiny little field of view. Not great. boy. Would you prioritize purchasing a red dot on your AR or your pistol, rifle. Shooting, in my opinion, I think shooting irons, oh man, well, that's actually tough. What do I believe? What do I think? I think I would prioritize red dot on your rifle first. I think shooting iron sights on a pistol is a lot easier than iron sights on a rifle. I can both eyes open iron sights on a pistol really easily. I can't both eyes open irons on a rifle. But I would prioritize over a red dot, white light. White light your pistol, white light your rifle, then get a red dot. Because even if you have the greatest red dot on your rifle but no light, you can't shoot what you can't see. But with irons and a white light, you can totally hit stuff. So definitely get a white light first. And then red dot your rifle, then red dot your pistol. It's my opinion. Now I know what I believe about that. What's the drink today? Oh, rain. What else would it be? Sour apple, of course. Sour apple. It's awesome. Oh, boy. Protec helmet for nods. You know, I bought one from them, never got it. It's kind of upsetting, to be honest. Have you ever shot NRA high power? No, I generally stay away from the NRA with like a 50-foot pole. No, that's just like their accuracy bullseye long range match thing. It's all marksmanship. Not that that's bad, but it would have been way better for the Second Amendment had they been running like an action two-gun event for the past 30 years. Like maybe we wouldn't have had certain gun legislation getting pushed if they had pushed that stuff 30 years ago versus lying prone, shooting a bullseye at 20 yards or whatever. Just an idea, just a thought. You know, maybe have dudes wear kit or something. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe that would have been better for the NRA to do instead of focusing on just marksmanship, but whatever. Oh, boy. Top three overrated gun products. Oh, this is great. Binary triggers, 100%. The Reich grip, except nobody really talked about that ever. So I'll take that off the list. That doesn't count. Lights that explode, you put on your gun. where all the credible reviews came from people who got paid to review the product. What's another overhyped product? Definitely binary triggers for sure. The stupid snake iron sights. See, those don't really go anywhere either. I'm trying to think of the big ones. Oh, M-Lock bayonet mount. There you go. Yeah, M-Lock. That's a new one. M-Lock bayonet mount. If you want to run a bayonet, get a Mosin. It's literally a spear. It's like a 5-foot-long rifle, and then you put your bayonet on it, and it's designed for the bayonet. That's actually what the Mosin was designed for, really. I mean, it was designed for bayoneting people. If you want a bayonet, just get a Mosin. $300, bayonet, you're good to go. Plus, you got 5 rounds in the gun, so you can skewer and then fire and work the bolt and then fire. Get the bayonet off of someone after shooting. Go to a new person, fire, get the gun off, you know.
Hold F
to charge with the bayonet. Yeah. Binary triggers, M-Lock bayonet, and lights that explode on your gun. Yep. Full auto, I would say, is overrated, but totally should not be regulated. So I'm not putting that on the list. I think full auto should be on, like, you want a gun that has select fire? By all means, gun comes from the store with select fire. It's just a gun that goes burr. It's not anything more dangerous or crazy or horrible. In fact, if full auto was used in more cases, you'd probably have more people that survive than are killed because most people can't control it and more rounds will go in the ceiling. Of course, that's up for discussion and debate, but I definitely would not. Holy cow. So, geez, what's going on? I definitely think full auto is something we should have, although it is overrated. I've got, like, tomorrow, one of the M4s I'm taking out got a select fire lower, probably won't even shoot at auto. I'll take guns to the range and forget their auto and then be like, oh, that's right, I have full auto. And I just totally just forgot because I was too busy shooting semi-auto and didn't care. But it should be totally legal. M-Lock Bennett, Savvy Boys, legit. I disagree, whatever. I think some of the new Geissele stuff has been hyped too much, although I could say the same thing for some of our products in the past. But I will say their mounts are pretty good and their triggers are really good. I mean, and their rails, I like the rails. I got the rails in a bunch of my guns. Not the Bendy Boys per se, but the Mark 14s and stuff. Their bread and butter that they started their company with is awesome. It's great. But I wouldn't necessarily say their newer stuff is that great, but They're stuff that they're actually really good on. They're really good on, like, their triggers. I still run their triggers. They're great. If full auto was not regular, we would not have binary. You're right. If we had certain, like, there's so many loopholes, like braces. Like, SB Tactical, I get this. They love the idea of legalizing SBRs, even though it would put their business out of business. That's how cool SB Tactical is. Because you wouldn't need braces. You wouldn't need any of that crap if SBRs weren't a thing. You could just, barrel length doesn't matter. Just have a stock. It's fine. You wouldn't need braces. That's also, I don't want to say that that's a lame gimmick, because it has enabled a lot of people to own and possess certain weapons that they wouldn't have previously used. Like, I remember 6 years ago, my older brother bought an AR pistol, or he built one or something, and it just had the buffer tube with the pad at the end. He was like, this is the coolest thing ever. It's short and small. And I was like, you don't have a stock. That's stupid. But now that we have braces, we can at least possess certain weapons, certain kinds of guns. You see them all over the place now. You did not see a lot of short weapons out there 6 years ago, 7 years ago, just because there wasn't a good solution. And people were like, well, I want a stock because that's a normal gun thing. So I got to get a 16-inch barrel or a Pen 14.5. There wasn't really anyone running 13.7 back then. But now you see like 10.5s, 11.5s, and companies making 10.3s all over the place. Daniel Defense making pistol versions of their Mark 18. Like, that would have never happened had it not been for the brace. But you're right. If SBRs weren't illegal, we wouldn't have a need for the brace, and we just have short guns all over the place. Be awesome. Anyway, we shouldn't have those stupid CCW laws either. It really shouldn't matter whether you have a rifle or a pistol. In some states, it doesn't matter. In some, it does. So again, another loophole that we're having to skirt by using a product so that we can, it's dumb, stupid. 108 RMR on a 19. It's actually what I'm carrying right now. It's great. If I need it really bright, I just turn it up and then it's a big splash of red on my glass. But otherwise, I can dim it down, have a really accurate 108 dot for precision, which is great. I love it. Night vision or night vision scope for 100 meter engagement. Engagement or identification? If you already know they're the baddies, a laser can work fine, especially inside of 100. But again, it depends on lighting conditions, your tube quality, your illumination from your IR device. If you don't know it's a baddie, that's where the night vision clip-on really comes in handy, because then you can actually dial in your magnification, switch on your illuminator, and actually like get a positive ID on who it is, what it is, what they're wearing, you know, and whatnot. So it just depends on what you want to do. Will you ever host open carbine classes? So I have been banned from teaching until I have an assistant by people here in the company. And that's okay. That's all right. It's fine. I would like to teach classes in the future very sparingly, though, because I'm not a full-time instructor. I'm the CEO of this company. I have to go film videos, speak on podcasts. I stream on Twitch, which I'm actually doing here in about 5 minutes, streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/AimBotkin, where I'm going to be showing armory stuff and actually going to depth on gun stuff, and I can actually show gun stuff a little better because YouTube doesn't like that. But I'm probably never going to teach full-time classes because I'm doing all this other stuff. What I would like to do in the future, maybe next year, 2023, or I don't know, is actually host like once a month a pistol or rifle class. Application only. They're going to be more advanced. We're going to skip some stuff, go straight to other kinds of drills and whatnot. Is that actually going to happen? I don't know. I know I'm going to be more busy doing other stuff next year. I would like to do it. But in the meantime, I'm working on a video project for those of you that can't take a class, where you can basically see what the class is. We're filming that very soon. So, but anyway, I highly doubt I'll be able to teach classes here in the future like that, because I just don't do that. I'm doing other stuff. So yeah, I'll be streaming on Twitch here in a little bit. Back to the comments. Thoughts on Hollow Sun for pistols? I've seen some people with positive experiences, so that's really cool. The new Acro Killer that they make, which is about $400-something, looks really solid. There's one floating around here somewhere. I don't think it's on a pistol yet. I'd like to play with that. I've shot it briefly. They're getting better. Hollow Sun has actually like innovated more products and improved their products a lot more the past couple years than most big-name gun companies. I'm still not the biggest Hollow Sun fan out there, but credit where credit's due, they've listened to people and they've made adjustments, and then they've actually changed things and they've improved things where most gun companies don't, and instead go bankrupt and sell off to other companies and you know, issues. So, anyway. Why hasn't SIG stocked up on the MCX? It could be some of their processes for machining it are not there, or they're dealing with contracts, or who knows what. It could be that their inventory is up and we just don't see it because they're gone. That's a thing too. Like, for all we know, they went from 500 guns a month to 1,000 guns a month, and those 1,000 sell just as fast. And so we won't know until like demand goes down, or they ramp it up to 5,000 a month. Like, we actually don't know. It's possible they have. They're just always gone, and that's just how it is. So I paid quite a bit of money for the one I got recently. I actually got it at a decent, well, it was way more than it should have been from 2019, or 2019, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. So that was nice, but it was quite expensive. Are you going to do a review on the EPC-9? Is that a 9mm AR? Probably not. Probably not. I don't know. I'm not a huge... I do stuff with MP5s and like the TP9. I don't think you can see. It's up there at the top. But I don't do a whole lot of stuff with AR 9mm. I focus more on the guns built around that and not like ARs and 9. Comp on concealed carry. Any downsides? It's longer. It can heat up a little bit. You really got to make sure you're carrying ammo that'll cycle the gun adequately. I've seen a lot of people make, and I've made big mistakes with my compensated pistols. I don't really shoot them anymore, of not having the right ammo, not changing to the right recoil spring, getting lazy with my recoil management. That's the biggest problem that I see with people compensating their pistols. They shoot really nice. It's just like, oh, there's nothing here. And their left hand starts to get loosey-goosey. And so they're actually losing all the benefit of having that compensator in the first place, where you're supposed to grip it the same amount and control recoil the same amount. So I don't do comps a whole lot anymore. I definitely don't do them for a prolonged period of time. If I pick one up, hey, that's cool. That's great. But I don't carry with a comp. I don't think it's necessary. It does give you a small advantage, provided you don't let it make you lazy and complacent. And I've had tons of shooters come to the range, and I literally watch them, and I can tell you're getting no benefit out of that comp. It's rising and falling exactly the same as my gun because you've let your grip get loose and get lazy. It's a thing. It happens. Unless you really pay attention to it. And it's happened to me before, too. Yes, we're going to do more Clash content. Yes, because more people own them due to 5.56 ammo price. Yeah, you know, I was buying 5.45 by 39 at like 40 cents a round towards the end of last year, something like that. Like, AK ammo was actually stabilized. So anyway, muzzle brake on AR and comps. Hang on, there's a question up here. it's funny. Slow mode is absolutely saving the stream. Yeah, it is quite a few comments. You know, it really does happen. It's a lot more than Twitch, that's for sure. Actually, I get a lot on Twitch, too. I'm sucking for comments. You know, I'm trying to answer things, you know. Oh, my back. 300 blackout setups. I like my MCXs. I also have a Seekins 8-inch gun, which is super cool. With a dead air shorty, a dead air K. 300, whatever, 762 K. I can't remember the name of it. I don't know the names of these products. what rifle you recommend to a new rifle owner? Right now, honestly, right now is one of the worst times to try to get rifles right now. Aero Precision is good to go. I have a bunch of Ballistic Advantage guns. They've been working out pretty well so far. BCMs are good. Kind of whatever you can get your hands on, I want to say. I don't recommend PSA or Anderson first, because you really want to make sure you know what you're doing before you buy those. Or Double Star or any of those like super duper duper budget brands. But you know, if you can get an Aero upper, drop it onto a lower, you should be good to go. Just make sure you like break it in, shoot it, make sure there's no major issues. Make sure you know, it's properly gassed, buffer tube, buffer spring, all that good stuff. Not buffer tube, buffer weight, buffer spring. Just test it. So, your time to get rifles, unless it's MCX. Well, unless you're willing to spend $3,800 or $4,000 for an MCX. have you played Tarkov? I've been playing a lot of Tarkov. Actually, I've streamed it twice this week. I'm going to stream again on, I think, Thursday or Friday playing it. Best way to get into the industry at a younger age? Not sure exactly what you mean by younger, but what I would recommend, this is something I've been recommending to a lot of folks. If you want to start your own business in the industry or doing industry stuff, sewing. Get a sewing machine, learn how to sew kit. To be perfectly honest, nylon gear, in my opinion at least, is way cooler than Kydex gear. I did Kydex gear. It worked out pretty well. I kind of wish I had learned nylon, though. I kind of wish I still knew how to sew. I don't really know how to sew at all. I did some random stuff when I was younger, but I wish I knew sewing now, because that's where like a lot of cool kit is made. And after talking about this on a stream about a month ago, I actually had a bunch of messages from guys who went out, bought a sewing machine, and have already sewn up like chest rigs and like stuff. Super cool. But as far as getting into the industry, there's a lot of different avenues, from being a marketing person to customer service. Customer service, depending on the company, can be cool because you can learn a lot about product and the industry in general. But it really depends on what you want to do inside of the industry itself. I will tell you right now, though, the industry, for the most part, doesn't have a lot of business savvy. Companies don't have the most business savvy. So maybe you focus on that. Most companies have horrible customer service. Maybe you focus on that. Most companies don't take very good pictures, film stuff very well. They get weird people to represent them. So maybe you could do a better job there. Basically, look at companies, do research now while you're young on the industry or the particular part of the industry you want to go into. And then look for deficiencies, because that's how you attack those deficiencies with ways you'll do it better. And that's how you can succeed, whether it's marketing, business development, business strategy, shipping, even shipping management's a big one for companies. That reminds me, I still never got that Spur stock from Optics Planet. Crap. It's been 5 months now, 6 months, actually, something like that. There's so many areas within the industry that are like normal jobs that you can do. It's not just about being a good shooter. It's not just about running around and doing cool stuff and wearing multicam or Kryptek or whatever is your jam. There's just regular business-like work stuff that the industry needs. And you can start with those and then move into other stuff. There's very few people in the industry that are paid to shoot guns. There's very few people in the industry who are paid to just design gear and run around and do cool stuff. There's very few people that do that. Most of it's business stuff. I've been in meetings today since 10 to now, and now I will stream from 4:30 to 7:30. So I'm not out shooting guns today. I get to do some gun stuff, but I'm not running around shooting all day. Like, I don't get to do that anymore. I actually never really did that. I did it, 3 days. Actually, no, I did 4 days a week a couple times, but it's usually like 3 days a week. So anyway, with that said, guys, I'm going to take a little 5-minute break real quick here, 2-minute break, whatever it takes, and I'm going to switch over to Twitch to then actually show guns, talk about guns, run around, and keep answering your questions. You don't have to have an account to watch. It's twitch.tv/aimbotkin, and I've also got my video game streams on there where I also take questions and play Tarkov and Call of Duty and stuff like that, whatever. But going to be doing that Armory stream now for a couple hours, going to be talking about some different things, continuing these questions, going to drink more rain, maybe get a water because I'm starting to feel a little parched. And we'll keep going over questions, and you guys can head over there. It's been great talking. Hope to see you guys next week or in a couple minutes. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you then.